Hey there, welcome to the Student to CEO podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Mason. We're talking to entrepreneurs who launched their business at a young age and they're now killing the game. Tune in to our episodes as these guests spill the dirt on taking that leap into entrepreneurship just like they did. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of the Student to CEO podcast. I'm thrilled to have Ariel and Hannah Redmond joining us today. Ariel and Hannah are the founders of Happy Box, a company that shakes up the gift-giving space by creating a build-your-own care package platform that is personal and convenient with handwritten notes and free shipping. Inspired by Ariel getting dumped in college and Hannah wanting to send her something to cheer her up, the two have since partnered and grown the company. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi.
Thank you.
Of course. I'd love if you could start off, either one of you or both of you, by sharing what is Happy Box and what led you to start something like it.
Yeah, so Happy Box, as you said, is a build your own care package gifting platform that was really built to kind of fill this gap in gifting. For us, we're really interested in creating a custom and curated experience that is super personalized and convenient for people. So the company, as you said, was inspired by Ariel, my sister, getting through a breakup in college. And, you know, I wanted to send her something that was just like a little bit more than flowers. I wanted to send her this, you know, I imagined a care package with, you know, her favorite candy and like a voodoo doll and like snarky card to cheer her up and really make her just like laugh and forget about it in that moment and just know that I was thinking about her. And when I Googled it, there was no real way to do that. You know, I could buy a kind of a traditional care package or, you know, gift basket, but there was no real way for me to customize and truly include the kinds of items that I was thinking of. I wanted a little bit more humor. I wanted some fun. I wanted it to really cheer her up. And so, you know, I ended up building my own. It took me going to 7 stores and waiting in line in the post office. It was a pretty horrible experience. And the whole time I'm thinking, well, with the internet, you can do so many things. There's Amazon, there's all these, you know, amazing opportunities to buy things online. And why can't you do this online? Like, why is it so hard? And why do I still have to go to the post office and make this such a manual, long experience? So that kind of inspired me, especially when she received the box that I had built, which is, I guess, the original breakup happy box, which did have a voodoo doll in it, did have chocolate in it and some of her favorite candy. And just seeing her reaction, I was like, you know, there's something here. There's something that's missing in gifting. And so years later, actually, we had both graduated college and, you know, I was earning my MBA and we talked about it. And I said, you know, this still doesn't exist, like, as far as I can tell, or there's not really, there's some stuff out there, but it's super traditional and just very, we call it very like Martha Stewart. It's beautiful, but it's expensive. It's more polished. It's not fun, colorful, poppy, snarky on-trend stuff. And so we kind of just started like building it and just seeing if people would respond and interviewed friends and family and wanted to see if this was like a real viable opportunity. But Ariel can chime in from her perspective.
Well, being dumped sucks. And this just like made it so much better. So when Hannah kind of pitched the idea to me after we had graduated and grew up a little bit, got some real life experience, it was kind of a no-brainer that we worked together. Our fields are really similar. I'm a creative director and Hannah's a strategist and she has her MBA. So together we kind of have this perfect storm of, you know, a dangerous business duo. So I knew that, you know, if she was pitching it to me, like, you know, there's something there. So we just kind of evolved it and it became this, you know, what it is now, which is a super fun way to buy gifts for your friends.
Absolutely. And one thing that I think is really interesting about your story is that when I was looking to buy holiday gifts for my clients and team members, I faced the same exact thing where I was like just spending hours researching different ideas of what to purchase for them. And so the funny story here for our listeners is that I had actually purchased 2 happy boxes for my team members before I even knew Ariel and Hannah. And once I found out that they were young, successful entrepreneurs, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to reach out to them. But exactly what they said is so true, is that I think especially with women, when we're in like our 20s or 30s, we really want to create something custom and fun for our friends to give to them. And so I was struggling to find that perfect thing for my 2 team members who are women. and in their mid-20s. And until I found Happy Box, I was like, this is exactly what I need. So it goes to show that if you have a need with some type of product or service, chances are so many other people have that same need as well.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. And I think it's really about listening to the, you know, listening to people. I think when we first started, I mean, seriously, this was like a, all right, let's see. And we asked our friends, we did surveys, we interviewed people to see, okay, like, what would you spend on this? Like, what do you love about buying flowers? What do you hate about buying flowers? Like, we really just wanted to understand what the consumer really cared about. And I think, again, our backgrounds, we're very lucky in that our backgrounds kind of lined up to this. We were both basically in marketing, and a lot of the consumer trends, right, as you kind of, you know, noticed yourself when you were looking for gifts, are people want custom. They grow up in a world of Pinterest where they expect to be able to do beautiful Instagrammable things, and it's actually not that easy to do so. And how do you, so for us, it was how do you build a way for people to do that at scale, and so they can actually feel like they accomplished something and truly feel like they designed it? Because I think one thing that has been so cool to see, people love picking out the items. Like, we see a lot in the cards that people write, like, I picked this because, you know, you need to relax. I picked this because it's your favorite color. And I picked this because you love chocolate and, like, you know, whatever. So, like, it's super fun to see that's like how people are really experiencing it. Like, they truly feel like they almost went to the 7 stores that I did originally, picked everything out so specifically for their, you know, their person, and were able to curate the perfect gift for them. So that's been, it's just been really cool. But yeah, to your point, just like listening to the trends and to people, and we constantly listen to our customers. We do interviews with them, you know, tons of stuff like that, just to make sure that we're on the right track and evolving the business in a way that really makes sense.
I want to highlight what you just mentioned about before you started Happy Box, the fact that you did all of those surveys with talking to friends and people who would fall within your ideal customer base, and then also continuing to talk to customers as you continue to move forward, because those two pieces are so important with being able to really hear from the people that you're going to serve, what they need, and then give you ideas on how you can actually fulfill those needs. So what was that process like with kind of doing that market research, and do you have any tips for our audience for anyone who may be looking to do the same?
Yeah, I think in the beginning, I mean, market research can be as easy as just calling your friend, right? I think there's, you know, I don't want people to get too hung up in the official way to do kind of customer surveys or even just like kind of getting feedback from friends. So honestly, we just had conversations with, you know, our friends. We invited them over for wine and just asked them what they thought. And really we made a lot of mistakes in the beginning, bought some products that we, you know, truly regretted, but and took us a while to sell. But, you know, I think the whole process just changes as you change. So as we, you know, started getting more customers, we started doing like Google surveys. That was really helpful. And then we actually started jumping on the phone with customers and obviously offering them like gift cards and stuff for their time, because, you know, this, it's invaluable to get the sort of feedback from people who have actually shopped our site and actually are customers. Like, that's an invaluable kind of resource for us. So it's kind of gold to be able to jump on the phone with someone. And sometimes we hear the nicest things from our customers, which is really great. I don't know if we'd hear the greatest things from people who haven't bought from us, jumped off our site, but yeah, I think it just changes. And I would just say, do what you can, like get feedback where you can, however you can. And then also like know when to listen and know when to kind of formulate your own opinion. Cause you know, customers for sure, like listen to the customers 100% because they're saying something cause there's a need, but the answer might not be what they're saying, if that makes sense. So definitely like take away, you know, take away the root of the problem and then keep vetting it against other people and seeing if there's a common denominator. That's kind of what I would suggest.
I think that's excellent advice and really helpful for anyone who is kind of looking to test the water, so to say, with any different types of products or services that they're thinking about launching. And so when you were launching Happy Box, what was the most difficult part of starting it?
I think it was, well, one, it was super fun and energizing to start. I think one thing that I'll start with a positive, it was, the entrepreneurship community in general is just so helpful. You can find people online, on LinkedIn, in Facebook groups, in whatever that, are just willing to help. And I think other entrepreneurs, people who are kind of like 5 years ahead of you, are just so gracious and helpful. So I think that was like surrounding yourself with that kind of community is really important. So whether it's a small business community in your area or again online, super invaluable. So I'll start there as like a positive. I think the biggest challenge for us was we really don't, our background was marketing, right? But we had never run a fulfillment center. We had never bought wholesale. We were not buyers. We had to learn all these kind of skills and learn an industry that we actually had no experience in. And while of course some of our experience was super, super valuable in certain respects, we were really starting from scratch. And that's where I think, we pretty much off the bat decided that we needed some mentors in the business and advisors just to help us kind of get to where we needed to be. And that's been invaluable also. I mean, having a regular meeting with someone who knows a lot more than you and is a lot smarter than you and has a lot more of experience than you will only get you farther because they'll challenge you in ways that you didn't think to challenge yourself. But I think honestly, it was about figuring out how to really get up to speed on the things we didn't know how to do. And that sounds like a little bit vague, but you have to focus so much of your energy on those things in the beginning to figure out what you need. And I think what we've learned, which is also pretty good advice we've gotten from mentors, is, you don't have to do it all. So hire people or partner with people in a way that supports the things you don't know how to do, so you can actually focus on the things you do really well or the things you really, really want to do. So it's funny, we always joke that because we're marketers, the last thing that we did for Happy Box was marketing because we had to figure out all the other yep. stuff first.
I always say that too, being a marketer myself. I always say like the shoe cobbler's son has no shoes. Like you're just so focused on doing everything else that the one thing that you are really good at just tends to get pushed to the wayside. But I think that what you talked about in terms of being able to not only talk to mentors who have been in your shoes before, who can give you really valuable advice, but also being able to build a team to really delegate some of the workload is huge. So what was your process with figuring out what types of employees or subcontractors that you really need to support you with the day-to-day operations at Happy Box?
Yeah, I think pretty quickly we learned that we couldn't do this ourselves. And I mean, it's really hard. We're still kind of figuring out how to like how to let go a little bit and not do it all. As an entrepreneur, you just, you have your hooks in everything. And like kind of said, we've had to become experts in, the most random things that you could even be an expert in. So I think we're really lucky that we live just outside New York City and we have a ton of really amazing talent that we were able to kind of tap into. So I think the first step for us in sort of letting go was actually not handling the fulfillment ourselves. And that was a big one because, it's a big jump letting someone else kind of, take control over as a creative director, taking control of the look and the feel of the box, because every customer when you're a startup is so crucial. They're just your lifeblood, And so you want to make sure every experience is really amazing. And then from there, knowing when to hire that second person, like it's kind of interesting. You kind of get to a point where, I don't even know if you ever really figure out what you, like who you need until you really, really need it, So I think we just try and do our best to like understand the need and fill those shoes for a little bit. And then we are happy to like hire, if that makes sense.
No, I think that's great advice. And I absolutely agree with it too, because I noticed in my business, it was the same thing. Like I didn't realize I needed an assistant until I really, really needed an assistant. Yeah. And so it's like, you really don't know until you actually kind of like go through the trenches and really do everything on your own before you can figure out and take a step back. Like, okay, I really need someone to take over this part of the business for me.
I think too, like something that I would just say too, is you will not hire correctly at first, and that's totally okay. Like you just won't. I feel like we were so, I don't want to say desperate, but we were so like, we needed the help so badly that we were kind of like, yeah, you're great. And then we kind of have had to kind of go back and figure out the real dynamic of the team and who the people are that are in place and we want to be in place for the long run. And I think Hannah and I have done a really good job of, hiring really strategically now and really good people who believe in the brand, believe in the business and understand our direction and really want to be along for that ride. So we have been really lucky in that, like the people who work with us and work for us now are some of the most incredible people I've ever worked with. And I feel just like so lucky to have them on our team.
Yeah. And I think one thing that it's super important to us is to understand what people are passionate about and want to learn and do, because sometimes compensation is one thing, but other things motivate people. And I think making sure that we're investing in those things or changing, I mean, changing the role even as a startup, we can do that, right? Like we can evolve roles because we're not a traditional like Fortune 100 company where things are super structured. Like we can flex roles to help get people to what they want to do. And I think in the people we want to invest in, that's super important to us. So that way they are invested in the company, because no one's going to be as invested in your company as the owner, right? Like that's just the way it is. But if you can incentivize people and understand what motivates them, that's huge.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because that's actually something that I'm going through with my own business, Dash of Social, is that I've actually been changing the kind of role that my assistant is playing and the different types of tasks that she's taking on, because I cut after through like talking with her and stuff like that, I realized that there were some things that she actually enjoyed more than others and was really good at doing, was really passionate about doing. So I'm like, oh, absolutely. And we can totally change like what your day-to-day activities are like, so that way someone else can take on the activities that you don't really enjoy or feel as passionate about, so that way you have more time to focus on the other things. And so I think that's an excellent point that you brought up, is that you can motivate your employees and subcontractors, not really just through money, but the really tools and deliverables and tasks that you give to them that they feel genuinely excited to do.
Yeah. And I think people, you have to find the right people with the entrepreneurial spirit too, because there are people who really love building something and really love being a part of building something, and wearing many hats to them doesn't scare them or feel overwhelming. It feels exciting, and it allows them to flex their muscle and see what they actually want to do. Because I think that's how I was when I first started my career. Like I was super entrepreneurial. I would do anything. I wanted to learn. I wanted to join meetings that I didn't necessarily need to join. Like, so if you find the people like that who are interested and they won't see it as like, oh, I have to do all this stuff. Like, The attitude is very important. And I think the entrepreneurial spirit, like there are people who are super entrepreneurial and they may not necessarily be entrepreneurs yet, but they want to be a part of something that is built or help build something from the ground up, even at an early age. And I think that that spirit, that energy is something we genuinely interview for. Like that spark is something that we look for, because that is so crucial. Because in our business, and I wish I was kidding, our org chart has changed probably 3 times in 6 months. And that's because of necessity of the growth that we're having. So it's not even a, we're changing our minds. It is the business is changing because of the industry, because of the environment. And so I think having people who understand that, and we are very candid about that when we interview and when we hire, that this company probably won't be the same that it was, the company today is not what it's going to be in 6 months, because we're at a high growth stage. So, and just making sure people are on board for that and understand that, is really, really important. And that, you know, helps avoid turnover, because it's helping, really show and manage everyone's expectations that, you know, we are growing and we are changing, and this isn't super established yet, because it's just not.
Yeah. And we're really lucky that our team, you know, has stuck with us and is able to flex and kind of, I don't want to say weather the storm, because it's a beautiful storm that we have, right? Like it's great. We're, you know, the business is growing, it's doing well, like, you know, so, and they know that. And I think that's what's keeping people like with us and loyal. That's like, you know, we're just kind of really open and saying things change all the time. It's a startup, but like, you know, grab your umbrellas, let's do it.
I love that. I mean, of course, the ultimate goal for every business is to be able to scale and grow in different ways. And so being able to build a team that is really along for the ride is something that's so important to do in helping you get to that point.
Yeah, for sure.
What do you think led to your success with Happy Box?
Oh, that's a great question. I feel like it's like stereotypical entrepreneurship answers, but I really think perseverance. I think being able to understand when you have to stop, start, or continue things is really important. So like really taking a step back strategically and seeing what's working, what's not working, and making steps. Doesn't have to be the perfect steps, doesn't have to be the answer right away, but just being willing to pivot is really important, and sticking through when you feel that something is the right thing, or you're getting advice from people that on something that is the right thing. So I do think that while we work really, really hard. Every entrepreneur works really, really hard. And I have more respect for small businesses than I've ever had in my life running this business, and small business owners and entrepreneurs. But I do think it's surrounding yourself with really smart people too, and making sure that you're using the right resources that you may not have inside you, whether that's tools, services, people, team, or mentors. I think that's crucial. So you can actually focus on growing the business. What we always say is like, basically everything we do, like we touch, should be growth driving. So everything that me and Ariel do needs to drive growth of the business. Sustain and maintain and get through the day to day is not where we can be focused if we want to continue growing. So literally, like, we'll stop ourselves and be like, is this growth driving? like, should we be doing this? And I think that's like a really important lens to have at a certain point. And you know, in the beginning, I say that with an asterisk, because in the beginning, you're kind of figuring it out, you're doing everything. And that's okay, I think, for a period of time. But there comes a moment where, especially as the owner or the, you know, if you're a managing director or whatever your role is, if it's to lead the business, then you actually have to really think 6 months ahead. And we hire that way. We plan that way. We don't think about what's good today. We think about what's good in 6 months. So
I think too, something that I think Hannah and I have a really good balance of, she's a very thoughtful person and she makes sure that we are thinking those 6 months ahead. And I'm a very much execute now person, and you need both. If I were to execute by myself, like if Hannah wasn't in the picture and if we weren't sisters, I would fall on my face, right? I would start strong and then I would literally fall on my face. And I think Hannah on her own would be so thoughtful that perhaps it would take her too long to execute. So I think having that balance of thoughtfulness and execution is so, so important. And I think, you know, a lot of people and a lot of my friends who I talk to and in this entrepreneur kind of community, they have a lot of the thinking and they are a little bit reluctant to just start. And I would say, like, you don't have to have everything figured out. We definitely didn't have anything figured out. I would really recommend just like, I mean, this is, you're talking to the executor right now. I would just say, just start somewhere. And like, I promise the rest will kind of, it'll happen. You know, you'll know the right thing to do when the opportunity kind of presents itself. So I think the balance of thinking and executing for sure, but when in doubt, I would say just go for it.
Yeah. And I think actually having, it's a great point. I think I took a class, just like online, like it wasn't through a school or anything, in like agile development, which was very specific to website development, but like the agile methodology, which is basically like build, optimize, and really just creation of an MVP, like a minimum viable product. Like, I think, yeah, that's a challenge for people. Like, I think that are more thoughtful and plan like me, where, you know, you're so used to, okay, we have to have our business plan and plan everything out. And I think you do need some of that done, but you need to just try. And I think what may stop a lot of entrepreneurs, especially if you're younger and you don't have experience, is like, how do you start? And I think even what we said earlier, like surveys, do some surveys, get some market research under your belt, because you might be proven wrong automatically, or you might be proven right automatically, and you might need to like dial it in and ask and double click and ask some more questions. So I think starting is like, the word starting is interesting, right? Because it's kind of relative, but that could literally just mean market research or building a website on a WYSIWYG builder and just seeing what happens. And so I think, yeah, I think just starting and figuring out kind of along the way is kind of the like, the theme.
Yeah. We joke about it now. And we say, you know, the way we started, we bought, you know, we didn't have our wholesale license. We bought things, you know, online, and we put them in a cake box and we put them on Etsy. That's like how we started. and you know, they sold. So we were like, all right, there's an idea here. There's something here. Maybe we should work on getting our wholesale license. Maybe we shouldn't package these in a cake box. Like, you know, so you start and you do it wrong so many times. And when you do it right, it is the best feeling in the world. And then when someone buys that thing that you did right, I mean, that's like the dream, right?
Love that. And I especially love what both of you have been talking about in terms of simply starting now and doing everything that you can to be able to really learn everything and build the business up, and then eventually get to the point where you were talking about in terms of that start, stop, and continue. Because I think that is so important, is just really being able to evaluate. And as you two mentioned, like, everything that you do, is this bringing me closer to the goals that I want to reach? Is this bringing me closer to the growth that I want to achieve? being able to really understand and analyze if every task that you do is helping bring you closer to those dreams is so important, because that's what really helps you to cut out the things that aren't working and make more time for the things that are.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's super important.
If there was one thing you wish you did differently with Happy Box and starting it, or one thing you know now that you wish you knew then, what would it be and why?
You know, I'm actually really glad we didn't know a single thing about gifting, because it allowed us to approach it from an angle of a consumer, not someone who's trying to sell you something, not someone who, you know, has all this experience and thinks they know, you know, what to do. We didn't know a single thing. We didn't know how to approach really any problem. And I say that I'm mainly speaking for myself, because Hanna has her MBA and she's brilliant. So for me, I just kind of like, I thought it was a great idea. And as a consumer, I thought there's definitely a need, but it really allowed, like, sometimes your ignorance can really allow you to see a problem in a way that like no one else can see. And I think that's a huge strength. I think, you know, sometimes, and we talk about this a lot, like our weaknesses and our, you know, ability to question things and really try and understand fields that we don't. I mean, we are like now experts in shipping and fulfillment, but we started with a gift box company, you know? So I think just the lack of knowledge can actually be really, really amazing. I don't know that I would change a thing, because I mean, we just learn. You learn, you grow, you make mistakes, you fall on your face so many times. Like, just, it's the hardest thing in the world being an entrepreneur. You learn an industry that you know, never really thought about. And you just become an expert on something that is just insane, that you just, like, again, never really considered. But I think everything leads to growth and leads to, you know more today than you did yesterday. And you truly are growing as both, you know, a business person, but a human as well. And I think that's like where a lot of our, you know, it's why we're so excited to kind of drive this brand, because even in how we purchase, our inventory has changed, right? Like, you know, we purchase almost exclusively from women-owned companies, because, you know, we've had this experience that we've had. And we know how hard it is to kind of start a company and honestly be taken seriously as a female. You know, we're constantly mansplained how business works. So I think for us, it was just really important. I think our experience has led to, and the mistakes we've made and everything has just led to us growing this business in a way that has become sustainable, which is nice. And also just impacts, you know, everything we've done, right? So we now have really good partners because we used to have really bad partners. We buy from vendors who we believe in because we used to have kind of crappy vendors. So I think we just kind of keep growing and keep pointing this ship and steering this ship in the direction that we would like our company to go in, which is such a cool thing.
I'd say there's like two things that I think about.
Really not just growing? You didn't just grow?
Well, the one thing that's relevant is I think I'm doing a better job of this now, but I think especially in the beginning, I kind of beat myself up for not doing things the right way and not having a fully baked business plan. And it stressed me out that I wasn't doing things the way I thought they needed to be done as like a quote entrepreneur and like what I learned in business school, you know? And then I think hearing from, you know, people and entrepreneurs and mentors and even just like public figures like a Sarah Blakely about how they didn't start with a business plan and those kinds of things kind of like let me like shed that a little bit. And also, again, partnering with Ariel, who really doesn't have that experience. So for her, it's not about a business plan. It's about, she has an idea, she wants to do it, she wants to try it. And so I think what I would have loved if I earlier, I like was less stressed out about the things that I thought I needed to do rather and instead just focus on trying things. And I think we generally did a good job, but a lot of that is credit to her, not me, because I would have sat and written a business plan and evolved it 17 times. So I think that forgiving yourself some, like, I would have forgiven myself a little bit for some of the things I thought I needed to do and just gone with it. Cause I think that would have alleviated some of the stress in the beginning for me. And then I think the second thing, which I actually think we did pretty well, but I think it's so, so important. And we were told it was so, so important. And I totally get it now. Is having a partner, or if it's you, cool, or if it's a friend, I don't know, but someone who can help you with your finances and someone who can truly plan, map, project, and really work with you on what this business looks like in the future and where you are today and how profitable you are. Because I think in the beginning, you know, you are trying so many things, you're testing and experimenting, and that's okay. But you do have to remember that you have to be profitable. And I think a lot of us, like in the more marketing side or the creative fields in business, it's not something that we're not necessarily exposed to, even in our careers. Like as a marketer in my career, like, cool, I was working on Super Bowl spots, but I wasn't worried about the profitability of the company I was working on, you know? So I think it's just making sure that you have systems, people, you know, accounting in place, so that way you're set up, because one day, once you start getting really successful, it gets really hard to back into it. So I think for us, that was hiring a partner. Like that was what that was for us. More of a consultant. So that was, I think, one of the biggest things that has helped us feel successful and understand where we are, you know, from a financial standpoint.
Those are great points. Being able to understand your financial health and see what you may need to change, whether it's pricing or anything like that, and then therefore get a really good understanding of what you may need to do moving forward in order to continue to grow. And as you mentioned, being able to kind of see what you could potentially make in the next 6 months, year, or 5 years. And then also too, as you talked about, I mean, just being able to start. So I can totally relate to this, and I feel like so many other entrepreneurs can definitely relate too, is that I feel like a lot of people have this really mindset that they really need to have every single thing planned out perfectly, have all of their ducks in a row, have everything listed out before they actually go ahead and launch. But there's this quote, I think it's something like, in order to be great, you have to start. But in order to start, you don't have to be great, or something along those lines. And it's so true. Like, you just need to actually go and do it. Because also too, I mean, the business that you launch originally is going to change over the course of the next few months or even years. So it's like, you don't need to have everything just perfect in order to do it.
Totally. And I think one thing that I learned, I think this is probably generally a known fact, but most people have ideas. If you talk to your friends, they're like, I wish this, I wish that. Like, most people have ideas, but very few people action ideas. So even if you literally action an idea by starting the market research, you're already doing more than probably 90% of people around you. So you have to give yourself some credit there, and like, just try and just test the idea, ask some friends, do some research, like see if there's competitors, is anyone doing what you're doing, learn from them. Like, even that is already more than most people, and you're already an entrepreneur. And I think giving yourself that credit as you're trying to start is really important, because it can feel really overwhelming. And truly, you know, just like almost like impossible if you see it from like the point of like you against the world trying to start something. So I think that's just really important, is starting is more than most people will do.
Yeah. And I think too, like, just know, literally no one has the answer. Like, no one, there's no right answer to doing anything. So like, where I think kind of was alluding to this before, where, you know, maybe there's a specific process that they teach you in business school, and that's great. But like, that's not the end all be all, right? Like, you can totally start a company, and you can totally do things completely differently from everyone else and find success. So I think also, like, just know that if you don't have the answer, that's completely normal. Like, you probably, like, your competitors probably don't have the answer. You know what I mean? So I think just like, keep at it and keep kind of chipping away at this problem, and it will crack. I think perseverance is super, super important. Being the last person standing and the one who like didn't say no or didn't, you know, didn't give up. I think those things are also really important, because starting a company is so hard. It's so, so hard. Everything about it is hard. So I think just like keep at it. And you know, I know that, you know, some of it is knowing when to give up for sure. But for us, it's been about perseverance and really just kind of keep at it and keep going.
And I think also, I mean, one thing that one of my mentors told me for a personal advice one time, which I apply, I swear, I think about it every week, is that there's no right way, there's just different ways. So there's like, you have multiple paths in front of you. None of them are right or wrong, because you can always get to a destination in a variety of ways. So like, I think thinking about that in every problem that you face in starting it is really important. And I know I've said this before, but you have to find some mentorship or people around you who are kind of doing similar things. Like, it's been like super great to me to be able to talk to people, entrepreneurs who are facing different challenges, and they'll call me and they'll be like, hey, I'm dealing with this, like, you know, this person's underperforming, how have you dealt with this? Like, we share advice and help each other, even if we're in totally different industries. That kind of just like guidance and like mentorship, but also like peer mentorship, like people who are doing this like you, I think is so important. And I, like I said earlier, the entrepreneurship community is incredibly gracious. Like, people will help you. Like, I mean, even in like podcasts, like Facebook closed groups and stuff like that, that's where some magic happens. Like, people are asking for advice or sharing ideas and asking for feedback on logos. Like, I mean, it's such a dynamic and like involved community, and like there's no disrespect to someone who hasn't started anything and it's just an idea. You can still go in there and have and bounce ideas off of people and find people on LinkedIn who are doing stuff like you. And I used to say I try to find people who are about like 10 years ahead of me, who are like doing what I want to do in 10 years. Like, that's who I always go after, because I want to understand how they got to where they are from where I am.
I love that you mentioned that, because I actually had another podcast guest who said the same thing, where she recommended that what really helped her in her business is that being able to find mentors who actually have the business that you want to build and be able to learn from them on the inside and out. So I think that's really great advice for people who kind of have these big dreams for years down the line, or even a few months down the line. The timeline doesn't really matter, but just being able to surround yourself with people who have done that before can do so much for your own growth.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people, when I've given this advice to some people, and some of the feedback is, well, I don't know how to find them. How do I, like, why would they answer me? And I think the strategy I did, which always works, or I'd say it worked most of the time, was go to your alumni association, or go to your alumni database and find someone who went to your school or lives in your, like, someone that has something in common will always talk to you. I guess I can't say always, I can't guarantee that, but you know, have something in common with them. So I went to my undergrad at the University of Maryland. So I would find people who went to the University of Maryland who are successful through our alumni database, and I would reach out to them on LinkedIn. I'd be like, hey, like, UMD grad, blah, blah, blah. Like, and people were more, you know, people are really nice. Like, if they give them opportunity, I mean, you have to understand some people are really busy and, you know, have high powered jobs that are, take them away from doing stuff like this. But I think there are those people who will answer you and will help you. It might just be that you have to email a few of them.
Absolutely. And I think that leads us into the perfect next question that I'd like to ask, which is, why do you think it's so important for individuals to start a business at a young age?
Oh, I don't know. I think when you're young, you just have less kind of overhead, if that makes sense, and more ability to make the mistakes. So I think when you're young, you kind of just throw yourself in, and you know, we still have that mentality that, like, we'll figure it out. I do think it is important to have some business experience, meaning just like real life experience as well. So I worked for a company prior to really diving into HappyBox, where, you know, the founder was super young and had no like real life experience in a business environment. And I think that was a little bit tough. I think, you know, he definitely had strong suits, but for the most part, like, it was hard to, he didn't really know how to manage people. So I would say that not depriving yourself of real life experience is something that's really important, or getting advice when you are lacking in some avenues. And sometimes that is when it comes to, you know, managing people. But I think there's just like a fire that young people have, you know, right out of college and even a couple years in, that, like, you know, I don't want to say it goes away when you're older, but it's really easy to kind of just like go with the flow and kind of go with a career path that you have chosen and keep trucking along. But it's not, I mean, to be your own boss, like, that's the ultimate dream, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think too, I agree. I think having some experience in a job is important. I think, and if you don't, like Ariel said, then you better have a mentor who does, because managing people is not something that is easy. And I think you're going to encounter clients or, you know, situations that having a few years of experience will significantly help you. What I always say is, I used my jobs almost like I was in school. Like, I worked on really big brands and I got to see how they did things. And I mean, the entire time I always knew I was going to be an entrepreneur. And the whole time I was like, okay, this is like school for me to understand how I should do this when I run a business. And so I think if you have that perspective, even if you don't like love your job, I think that's a really good angle to have. It's like, what can I learn today? And it might not be in your actual job. Like, it might not actually be like the work you are physically doing. It might be that there's a super smart person that you're working with that you see how they handle a problem, and that might be how you learn. But those things are going to be so valuable. And I mean, it's, and not to say that's for everyone, like people jump out of school and do the entrepreneurship thing right away. And I think that's really cool. Like Ariel said, the fire that you have when you're young and not worried about supporting kids or a mortgage, that having that opportunity is amazing. And being able to potentially even live at home. Ariel and I both lived at home to save money for a bit, just because we knew the aspirations that we had, and we knew we would need to. So those things as a fresh out of school person are huge, huge, huge advantages. But I think if you don't get that experience, then it's even, again, more important to have some mentor. It doesn't even have to be a formal advisor, but some sort of mentorship from someone who's been at really big companies. Because the strategy, right, like as most companies know, you learn from what other companies do. Like we always talk about this, how like McDonald's and Burger King, their strategy for real estate is going where, like if McDonald's is finding new real estate, they look at where Burger King is, because they know Burger King did the $1 million of research to figure out that spot is right. So like learning from what other companies do is super important. But I think, yeah, that energy is invaluable. That energy, that fire that you have when you're young, and the feeling that you that you can do anything is super, you know, super valuable. And I think that will fuel a lot of people and continue to fuel them. And I think the last thing that's really amazing about being a student or right out of school is people will always help you. If you
still have absolutely
email address, people, if you're a student asking for advice, I guarantee you have a much higher rate of return than just a person looking for a job or a person looking for some advice to start a company. Like that .edu or that like fresh out of school like angle is just, you will get more help than you can know what to do with. So I think that's also a huge advantage.
I think too, don't be afraid for this to be your side hustle for a little bit. Like I think like a truly entrepreneurial person kind of can straddle a bunch of things. So I think you don't have to dive completely in right away. There is benefit in like kind of said, learning from your day job and kind of picking up things and treating it as like your small business school, you know? So I think every company has something that you can learn from. And again, whether it is like dealing with clients or honestly, like what we've found in early on is some people who haven't had an office environment at all are really hard to work with because they don't have the same kind of skills, whether it's communication skills or email etiquette, like just things that you wouldn't even think about because you've been involved in you know, sort of a day to or a 9-to-5 job. Like there are things you just pick up, and bringing that structure with you to the company that you're starting is so, so, so important. I mean, I think we've been so lucky that, you know, Hannah and I both have agency experience, so we know how to work in a fast-paced environment, but we also have had experience, you know, pitching to clients, presenting to clients, like, and a lot of the internal politics that you may be dealing with at your 9-to-5 job, those things translate in your side hustle. I promise you they will. Maybe it's not at first, but everything kind of like is maybe at a smaller scale, but all of what you're dealing with in your like 9-to-5, it will happen in your company. So it's really important to kind of get the experience that you can. And again, just treat it as like, as a little school for you, a little, you know, a little side hustle school.
Absolutely. I mean, everything that we go through and experience every single day has the opportunity to teach us something that we can learn from and use to our own advantage when building up our business and finding ways to grow. And the two of you have shared so many awesome pieces of advice throughout this episode for our listeners that I know that they will find so valuable. But if there was just one last piece that you could share for someone who may just be starting out, what would it be?
This might be different per person.
Go ahead.
I would say just start. Like, don't get caught up in the details right now. Just, you have an idea, you know, vet it a little bit, make sure it's sort of sound, don't take too much of a risk, but start somewhere, start anywhere, just do it. Like, you know, just like, I just want you to do it. the second thing though, I will say that I think is super important, and maybe not my like final piece of advice for everybody, but there are people out there that prey on small businesses. They kind of target, you know, younger entrepreneurs. So I would just be really careful who you choose to partner with as well. We have sort of a rule of thumb that anyone, because we've been burned before, anyone who kind of pitches us, we A, usually just don't kind of deal with them because we like to find our own vendors and work with people who we have vetted or have, you know, been referrals and that kind of stuff. But there are people out there who can promise you things and can, you know, say that you'll get on Good Morning America and like all the kind of like amazing things that you are desperate to hear when you're an entrepreneur. And I urge you to ask your peers, ask your entrepreneur friends, ask people for referrals rather than getting pitched and kind of going along with, you know, a pitch that someone has given you. That's super critical and will save you time and will save you money and will save you energy. So I think talk to your peers. When you need a developer, when you need a, you know, a PR person, when you, whatever, talk to other entrepreneurs and really just get their opinion, get their advice and get their, you know, their contact information. And they will share, people will share it. Like kind of said, they're very gracious. So just that's like the big watch out as you're starting your company. But the main thing is just start somewhere, learn, grow, pivot, be okay to kind of change things and be flexible and don't think, well, this is my company. Even if the whole world is saying no, like, you know, just be flexible enough to kind of listen and, you know, hear them and whether you want to take it or not. I think, you know, it's important to get the advice and get the feedback and really learn and grow.
Yeah. I think the thing I'd say is surround yourself with people who are smarter than you, which I feel like is, again, kind of traditional advice in the entrepreneurship community, but it doesn't have to mean hire someone. It really is find some mentors, find someone who's done what you're doing, find some peers in the entrepreneurship community. And with the internet, this is so easy, whether it's on LinkedIn or again, like I'm in a lot of small business groups, like on Facebook and it's funny, that's probably the only thing I use Facebook for now is all these little communities, Reddit, like you just find, there's so many virtual conferences right now and you know, in time there'll be more real life conferences for small businesses. Find small business owners, find entrepreneur communities, because those are the people you'll turn to when you have a crisis or you have a question or you need that, you know, recommendation for a PR person. And it's so invaluable to have people around you. And again, not necessarily in your company, but around you that are, that understand what you're going through, because being on an entrepreneur can be lonely. Like you become a little bit isolated because it's your life. You have to do so much and you have to miss your friends' baby showers and birthdays and you have to do things that you sacrifice a lot of your personal life in building a company. And I think having people in your network that are also going through that is super helpful as well, just from like an emotional standpoint too. So.
Absolutely. I mean, just being able to put yourself in a community of people who truly like get it can do so much for not only your business growth, but also personal growth too, with giving you confidence and friendship and all of those things that are so important with being a business owner.
Yeah. And I think the one thing that I feel like is important to say, I know this is, you asked for one piece, we're giving you like five, but is that people don't actually know what they're doing. So like you can look at us and say, wow, they've like built this thing. And like most of the time, like we figured it out. Like we didn't know how to do a lot of things. And a lot of the entrepreneurs that you look to and aspire to, like, I mean, we love Sarah Blakely. Everyone loves Sarah Blakely. When you listen to her interviews, I mean, she's like, I had no idea what I was doing. I sold fax machines before I started Spanx. So I think just remember that most entrepreneurs, even the most successful ones, probably didn't have an MBA and probably didn't know what they were doing. And they took a stab. So just be confident that you can do it. It's not a matter of your background or where you came from or your expertise. It's about like really like anyone can do it. It's just a matter of like, you know, surrounding yourself with the right people and resources and believing in yourself enough that you can.
Absolutely. And now I'd love if you two could share where our listeners can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further, because as I mentioned, you two have gone above and beyond being able to share such helpful tips that I know people would really appreciate.
Well, yeah. So first you can shop HappyBox at happyboxstore.com. So you can shop our curated care packages. You can also shop our Build Your Own Care Package, which are obviously our bestseller. And then you can also find us on Instagram at HappyBoxStore. And yeah, and I think we're open if anyone wants to email us or has any questions, like from an entrepreneurship standpoint, you can email us at hello@happyboxstore.com.
Perfect. And I'll make sure to include all of those links in the show notes so that way our listeners can click through in case they missed it with you saying it. But thank you both so much for coming on the show. You were an awesome guest, and I know that our listeners will really appreciate and love this episode.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks so much for listening today. I'd love it if you could subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with those who could use it most. For show notes and more information, go to studenttoceo.com/podcast.